where you and I would have smelled manure, Paul said, fertilizer. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The stinking cesspool called Corinth. We might assume it would be a tough place to plant a church. Clearly, it was a stronghold of some wicked forces. Yet, God had plans for the place, and he revealed some of them to Paul. We're ready for part two of Reaching God's People in Corinth. Pastor Jim will pick up at the beginning of Acts 18.
We read that Paul met this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers of the same trade. Paul obviously got a job. And then Paul, according to verse 4, reasoned in the synagogue, that would be Jews, every Sabbath, that would be Jews, and tried to persuade both Jews and Greeks. Notice the order, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To this time in Paul's life, the temple is very clear to you. He is impassioned to reach the Jews with the gospel of their Messiah. He's impassioned to take the Jewish scriptures, go to the Jewish synagogue, open the Jewish scriptures, and show how the Jewish prophets predicted that Messiah would come, and the Messiah had come, and that he had fulfilled the prophecies. And despite that, and his many, many miracles, they rejected him, crucified him. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. That was the message Paul took to the synagogues. And every Sabbath, Paul is in the synagogue teaching, persuading, seeking to testify to these folks and also the Greeks. Now, when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, that means when they finally got there from Berea, where they had stayed over, Paul had to leave. When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with preaching the message. That word means the testimony. The notion here is that Paul spent more time in sharing what God was doing in his life and in the lives of Christians than he was exegeting the Jewish scriptures. Now think about that. Remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, when I came to be among you, I determined to know nothing among you but, hello, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul realized that the Gentile world knew little or nothing about the Jewish scriptures. But they could see the power of the gospel of this Jesus Christ transforming the lives of their neighbors and friends. And so Paul began to put more emphasis in his preaching and teaching on the testimony of the specific gospel of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, because the Gentiles had no way to connect Isaiah 53 with the crucifixion. They didn't know who Isaiah was. I know. You see that? So Paul is adapting, he's adjusting to his audience. Now, that doesn't mean that he forgets all about the prophets. It does mean that when Paul is not in the synagogue, when he's out among the Gentiles, he is more telling them his testimony, what happened. He's telling them the events that happened. He is focusing upon the testimony and witness of Jesus and his death and his crucifixion and explaining it to them in terms of their need of a Savior. That's what that suggests to us. And as Paul was occupied with preaching the message and solemnly testifying to the Jews. See, to the Jews, he continues to solemnly testify that Messiah is Jesus, that the Old Testament Messiah of their scriptures is Jesus. Now watch. When they, the Jews, resisted Paul's message and blasphemed, that means they blasphemed Messiah, when they did this in their pushback, Paul shook out his clothes. The picture is shaking the dust, breaking every connection between himself and that Jewish mob who is cursing and swearing and blaspheming instead of listening and responding in obedience to the scriptures. Paul shook out his clothes and he told them, "Your blood is on your own heads." I am clean. This is a moment that Jesus met in his ministry. Remember, the disciples went out one morning and Jesus is teaching the multitudes, the Jewish multitudes, and he's teaching them in stories. Remember that? They're called parables. And they took him aside, hey, Jesus, what's the deal? You didn't cite Isaiah today. Hey, Jesus, you never referred to Moses today. Hey, Jesus, you didn't quote the law today. This is Israel. What are you doing? You're preaching in parables. What did you mean when you said that man went out and, you know, sowed seed? What did you mean by that? Jesus told him what he meant. And finally, they pressed him and said, why have you changed your methodology? And here's what he said. He said, because they've hardened their hearts and they've hardened their ears. Or better yet, they've closed their ears and their hearts are hardened. So the parables are actually a message wrapped in mercy. There was truth in the parable for the one who had an ear to hear and think. But the parable wasn't straightforward, like teaching Leviticus, like exegeting Genesis, like pleading one of the Psalms. It's different. And Jesus said, we've come to a benchmark in my ministry. The prophet said the day would come when the nation would harden its heart, close their ears, and resist the truth. Well, Paul says that's what's happened here in Gentile land. You Jews who are part of the synagogue here, you've determined your own fate. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Now, as we'll see in a moment, that doesn't mean Paul never went back to the synagogue. But it does mean that the full weight of Paul's apostolic authority as the apostle to the Gentiles, which had been recognized all the way back at the Jerusalem Council, that Peter would be the apostle to the Jews and Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles, has now taken its formal hold on Paul. And Paul realizes that there will be fertile soil in Gentile land. There will be open ears and responsive hearts among the Gentiles, and that the Jews who rejected Jesus, repudiated their own scriptures, and have hardened their hearts. And Paul says, I'm clean. I'm clean. Your burden is of your own making. So Paul left there, left the synagogue, and went to the house of a man named, I think it's Titius Justus. He's a worshiper of God whose house was next door to the synagogue. Now, Paul stops his synagogal Sabbath teaching, but he moves into a house next door to the synagogue. Why? Because Paul loved his people. And you want to hear that love expressed, go to Romans 9, 10, and 11 and read the opening verses of each one of those three chapters. Paul said, I wish I were cursed for my brethren, the Israelites. I wish God would take my name off the book of life if in the process it would mean my people, my brothers, my Jewish, my Israelitish neighbors, friends, and relatives would come to faith in Jesus. Now, Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord. He became a convert, along with his whole household. And many of the Corinthians, Gentiles, when they heard, believed, and were baptized. That's the beginning of this church. Now, let's rush ahead. Then the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, hey, remember the last vision? Come over, please, to Macedonia and help us, Paul. Well, here's a second vision. The Lord said to Paul in a night vision, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. In other words, Paul, I agree with your judgment regarding the hard-hearted Israelites. I understand their hardness. I am with you. No one will lay a hand on you to hurt you because I have many people in this city. What a promise. So Paul stayed there for a year and 6 months, 18 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now here's a sidebar. God first appears to Paul by night in a personal vision. Paul, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're going to be protected. You're not going to get beat, slandered, all the rest of it here. Got that, Paul? Got it. Okay, go preach. Go reach those Gentiles. Gallio was proconsul of Achaia. While he was proconsul, the Jews made a united attack against Paul and brought him to the judge's bench. This man, they say, persuades people to worship God contrary to the law. As Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio interrupted Paul. Look at this. Gallio said to the Jews, now, if this were a matter of a crime or of a moral evil, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you Jews. But if these are questions about words, names, and your own law, see to it yourself. I don't want to be a judge of such things. Would our administration in Washington be half as smart? I'm dead serious. Dead serious. Our forefathers understood this. Gallio is saying, that's not my pay level. You Jews have your laws. You have your teachers, your rabbis. You have your history. You have your background. Go solve these problems for yourself. I will not participate in this. Now, if it were a matter of a crime or a moral evil, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you Jews. That's an interesting way to say you guys are a pain in the neck. Go deal with your own problems. Don't drag me into this. You know, your leaders down in Jerusalem drug Pilate into a situation that he didn't want to arbitrate. He didn't want to adjudicate. He examined Jesus, found him innocent, and said, hey, I find no fault in this man. Just let him go. Now you're acting just like them. They were fools, and I'm not going to follow that same foolish thing. You guys deal with your own religious restrictions, and don't bring this man before me to adjudicate about the authenticity of his right or wrongness within your system. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. But look what happened next. So he drove them from the judge's bench. Then they all seized, you pronounce it. Who is what? He's the new leader of the synagogue. He took the place, apparently, of Crispus, verse 8. Who became a believer and followed the gospel and followed Paul. This must be the new head of the synagogue there, kind of the head rabbi. They all, that would be all of those people who heard this judgment, seized the new leader of the synagogue and beat him in front of the judge's bench. But none of these things concern Gallio. Folks, you ought to bracket that paragraph and go back here a couple times this week and reread that. This is a Roman official officially refusing to use the laws of Rome to judge the kingdom of God. This is the essence of what we in America have called not separation of church and state, but freedom of religion. There's a world difference. By the way, this is what keeps the Jewish nation today in the land of Israel in such hot water. By official law, the Jews require themselves to permit anyone's freedom of conscience when it comes to worshiping God. That's why when the paratroopers took the temple site some years ago, Six-Day War, Moshe Dayan immediately called in the Muslims and said, "We permit you to practice your Muslim faith in this place." Now, they long since have taken advantage of that. But when you go to Israel, you'll find enormous latitudes of expression of worship today, because it's the law of the land. And the Jewish people surely know a lot about being persecuted for religion. And in our hour, as they practice that grace, their enemies use it against them. Sad. At this point, Rome goes on record that she will not repeat Pilate's mistake. And it's on the basis of this, some months from now, Paul will stand in a Roman court and say, "I appeal to Caesar." And Caesar will hear Paul's case. This is a phenomenally important passage. Three things take home with you tonight. First of all, Corinth is a good place to plant a church. Corinth is a place where the fruits of unrighteousness and the crimes of fornication litter the streets. You think it's bad now with our drug problem? You ain't seen nothing yet. Corinth lives in debauchery. Good place to plant a church. And you plant it upon the principle that Paul elucidated in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember that? No immoral person, no adulterer, no liar, no thief, no, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's where you came from. You came from the brothel. You came from the slum. You came from the bar. You came from drunkenness. You came from demonic obsession. Some of you were like these people we just elucidated. But you are washed. You are cleansed. You are saved. You're a new person. You have a new life. That's the first thing you remember. Corinth is a great place to plant a church. Number two, in this, the first of three times in the book of Acts, where Paul says, "I've had it with you Jews, I'm going to the Gentiles." Now, you will not understand that unless you read Romans. I love Romans 9, 10, 11. I love it. You go back and you read Romans, in Romans where Paul says, "The reason I magnify my office as apostle of Gentiles, I'm going to reach lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of Gentiles." Why? So that the conversion of the Gentiles will fill the hearts of the Jews with jealousy. Go on back and read it. That's what Paul says. And this is the first of three times where we're going to note this, where Paul deliberately turns from the pattern of focusing on the Jews and the synagogue and focusing on the Gentiles and the gospel. Third thing, in this passage, you have a clear articulation of God's purpose for human government. Read Romans chapter 13. And there it says very clearly that those who are our governors are appointed by God, and that the service they do, the word translated service, there is the word for being a priest, what the priest does in the temple. Do you know that? Our governors, from God's perspective, has been appointed and privileged to be a direct servant of God, serving the citizens of Ohio. And above everything else, the call is, you reward the good and you punish the evil. Read it, Romans 13. Remember those three things. Got it? If you got it, say amen. Amen. Thank you. Stand up with me. Dear Jesus, we've been in deep water tonight, and we are amazed at how you are working out in Paul's heart and life, his response to the call to come to Macedonia and help us. And we see here very specifically a very particular case of how you provide peace in a war zone for Paul, how you provide cleansing in the gutter of Corinth, how you go to the sewer pit of the society of that civilization of that day, and there you redeem young women who were prostitutes to the goddess and did sex of all kinds, thinking they were assisting in worship. And you redeemed them, and they became pure women. And you redeemed men who sold drugs and who themselves were victim to all kinds of drugs, and on it goes. But you built the church here. And you also created a marvelous illustration of where government doesn't belong and where government is not to exercise top-down authority. So thank you tonight for this passage. Blessed to our hearts and blessed to our minds as we look forward to election. And as we prayerfully seek how we should cast our ballot for the government of our nation. Thanks for these dear friends. Bless them and encourage them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
The proper function of a government is to make it easy for the people to do good and difficult for them to do evil. That was Daniel Webster's summary. The proconsul Gallio may not have totally signed off on that statement, but he was wiser than Pontius Pilate. He refused to get dragged into matters between us and God. That incident was a small part of what Jim covered today in the second half of his sermon, Reaching God's People in Corinth. If you'd like to have the individual message on CD, it's available for your gift of $7 or more. It belongs to part 3 of our Acts series entitled The Way to Glory. And you can find info on those sermons on the website, rightstartradio.org. The old, old story of Jesus and his love never changes. Though we communicate it through modern channels, people still need to hear that story and to understand and apply it. That's where we come in and where you could come in. Would you do us a favor? Consider praying for or giving to Right Start. Thank you. You can write to us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085 USA. You can call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or you can make contact through our website where you'll find loads of audio resources. It's rightstartradio.org. You can play the radio programs, hear the complete sermons, find out how to subscribe to Right Start as a daily podcast on iTunes, and click to donate securely. Check it out, rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Tomorrow, we'll meet a Jew with a Greek name who was preaching the gospel, even though he didn't have all of it. We'll see you tomorrow for Tuesday's Right Start. ¶¶